సుమధురం సంకీర్తనాలాపిని శ్యామాంగి మధుసిక్త సూక్తిం అమృతానందాత్మికామేశ్వరి.
Another person. purpose of Brahma Sutra is to harmonize various conflicting views of the Upanishads. Upanishads at times speak about some like conflicting, like it speaks about creation, it speaks creation is not there. So those conflicting views, there are various conflicting views, all of them are discussed, like logically analyzed and concluded. But like it's not essential to enter into all those. So the first four sutras, Brahma Sutra has four chapters in total. But we don't need to learn all the four chapters, because the first four sutras, the first adhikaranam or first section of the first chapter, that is a summary of the entire Brahma Sutra. So if we can understand the first four sutras, like Vedanta is known. So it is just four sutras, means like Janma Adhyasya Etaha. Similarly, four sutras, that's it. If we can understand the meaning and remember those four sutras, then Vedanta is basically done. That's it. We don't need to learn anything else. And that's how, that's not my view, but like one of Shankara's main disciple, Padmapada Acharya, he wrote a commentary on Brahma Sutra, which is called Panchapadika. There he dealt only these first four sutras. Therefore, it's called Chatusutri. Called Chatusutri because it is a condensed form of the entire Brahma Sutra. It is a summary of the entire Brahma Sutra. There have been various commentaries on Brahma Sutra. There is the commentary of Shankaracharya. Shankara's commentary is there, Brahma Sutra Bhashyam. And then there are sub-commentaries, it's a long list of sub-commentaries. We don't need to know or learn any of those. Like what we are going to like focus here is to get knowledge or like learn those sutras, the meaning of those sutras, rather than trying to find out like historical views or commentaries and what do those commentators say, how do they differ and all. That's something like which is advanced. That's something which can confuse us, that can distract us from the main content of Chatusutri Brahma Sutra. So Chatusutri Brahma Sutra means first four sutras of Brahma Sutra. That is a summary of the entire Brahma Sutra as well as summary of Vedanta itself. So before entering into like Brahma Sutra itself means, it's also called Vedanta Sutra as well because it's a summary of Vedanta. But Brahma or Brahman is the subject matter of Brahma Sutra. So what is Brahman? Though the Sutra will itself say or speak about Brahman, the nature of Brahman, but an understanding of Brahman, like what Brahman is, if we are able to at least intellectually understand, then the spiritual path is almost done. In due course of time, we will definitely realize. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitramiha vidyate tat svayam yoga sansiddhah kalena atmani vindati. This is what Krishna says in the fourth chapter of Gita about jnanam. He says, Nahi jnanena sadrisham. Sadrisham means like jnana pavitramiha vidyate. Pavitramiha na vidyate. Pavitram means pure or sacred. Na vidyate, like jnanam, there is nothing else which is sacred. Why? Because tat svayam, it by itself, yoga samsiddhaha means like a person who is established in yoga, his mind is in yoga. Yoga means yosamattum yoga ucchate. Yoga means like application of this knowledge in the mind. So at the mental plane, applying knowledge, applying yoga, applying samabhavana, applying like equanimity or seeing everything as one, that is called yoga. A person who has this knowledge and who implements it through yoga, kalena atmani vindati. So kalena, in due course of time, it makes the person realize the self swayam by itself. It doesn't need any auxiliaries, it doesn't need any secondary, it doesn't have any secondary factors. Because no factors like, oh, I couldn't get Paramatha's CD. I couldn't join Chinmaya Mission. I couldn't learn from Tejomiyananda. I couldn't learn Yoga Vasishta. There are no such restrictions for Jnanam, because if we have knowledge, which is not that tough to know, once we have that knowledge, once we our intellect gains that knowledge, then it's all like being convinced. Always having that knowledge, that alone will take us to realization. So, Swayameva Atmana Atmanam Ananta Padam Apyasi. In Yoga Vasishta, in one of the places, there is a shloka which says that Swayameva, when a person knows that everything is one entity, that means knowledge. When he has knowledge, then Swayameva, by itself, Atmana Atmanam, by his own effort, by his own mind, he will realize the self. Ananta padam apyasi. He will attain the ananta padam, infinite state. Infinite state he will automatically attain. So that's how Krishna and the scriptures speak about emphasis of knowledge. So the purpose of learning Brahma Sutra is to know Brahman. That means at least gain intellectual conviction about Brahman. So that's the purpose of Brahma Sutra, or learning Brahma Sutra itself. So if we have to gain intellectual knowledge, then we need to know. Like, we need to know, like, what is that entity? That means, what is knowledge? If our intellect needs to get convinced, then we need to define, describe that entity. So how is Brahman described? What is Brahman? So generally, we may think, okay, Brahman, what is Brahman? We may think, oh, is this something... This is some strange word that comes in. I've heard about Brahma, I've heard Vishnu, I've heard Devi. All those are fine. What is this Brahman? Somebody is introducing a concept. So Brahman is nothing but Bodham. It's called Bodham, or it's called Chit. Consciousness. Bodham means consciousness. So Akandam Ananda Bodham. Puratraye kirati yascha jivaha tadastu jatam sakalam vichitram adharam anandam akanda bodham yasmin layam yati puratrayam cha. One of the Upanishads, the Kaivalya Upanishad, speaks about Brahman as the source of puratrayam. Puratrayam means our three bodies, our three states. The substratum is adharam anandam akanda bodham. So that is, bodham is called Brahman. The two qualities of Bodham or Brahman or consciousness is that it is Anandam. It's Anandam in nature, and it is Akhandam. Khandam means like having parts. It can be divided. It has sections. But Brahman doesn't have any sections. Consciousness doesn't have any section. We cannot find any section or part for consciousness. Our mind, we can split it into Dantakarna, we can split into mind, manas, anabuddhi, ahankaram, all those things like we can say. But can we split consciousness? Consciousness means, what is consciousness? Oh, you're telling all this, what is consciousness? Consciousness is that which pulsates, which sphuranam, it's called in Sanskrit, it's called sphuranam. That which pulsates inside each one of us, that I exist. This pulsation is always there. So the common analogy used is that we enter into our house at night. Like, we come from outside, we enter the house, there is no light. So two people enter the house. One person asks the other person, are you there? The person says, I am there. There is no light. Then how can he say, I am there? Because that I, the pulsation, the I is always there. So it is like consciousness or Brahman is our nature, or that which pulsates always as I. So it is not the ego. Ego is also I. So it's not the ego I, because the ego I has modifications. The ego I always changes. So currently my ego I is speaking. Your ego I is listening. After some time, both our ego eyes will be singing. So that is, the ego always changes. Whereas this pulsation of I, whenever anybody asks you, are you there? Are you living? yes. There is no other answer. Instant response is yes, because that pulsation is always there. So it is that pulsation of consciousness which pulsates in each one of us, that I exist, I am there. That is what is called as Brahman. That is Brahman. Okay, if that is Brahman, it is Akhandam and it is Anandam. How can you say it is Anandam? I don't experience Anandam. So that is where this is knowledge about Brahman. But mere knowledge of Brahman alone is not enough. We need to know why we are not experiencing Anandam, which is the nature of Brahman. That Brahman which pulsates in each one of us as I. That means each one of us are Brahman, but still we don't experience Anandam. Then what is it that obstructs this Anandam? Obstruction of this Anandam is due to our ego. Due to our ego I, which is always active rather than the pulsating I. So whenever somebody asks, who are you? We'll say, oh, my name is so and so. There is no name for me, because the real I, am I born? I am not born, or I will not die as well. Because if I take birth, then I have daily, I take one birth in dream. I take daily one birth in dream. So what is that I? Is this the same as the I that is present now? It's not the same. We change. So that means when somebody asks, who are you? We say, I am so and so, means that is a wrong you. So that is the ego I speaking. The ego is active most of the time. If we are able to purify the ego I, so there are different ways to realize Brahman. Different ways in the sense, different perspectives. But the simplest is, we need to just purify this ego I. The ego I which is there in each one of us, that is based on our body, mind, intellect. The complex of body, mind, or BMI as Jinya says. So body, mind and intellect. So if we are able to purify the body, we can purify through external means. The mind and intellect, if we purify the mind and intellect, then we will be able to experience not the ego I, but the real I. So it's like the link, the sun gets reflected in a pond of water. So the sun gets reflected in a pond of water, and in the pond of water, some fish moves over the sun, and the sun says, oh, why are you moving over me? So that happens, and then there are disturbances, there are impurities in the water. Because of the impurities in the water, sun gets afflicted and he says, I am impure, there is dirt here. So how can you get rid of the dirt? Just purify the dirt. If you purify the dirt, you will know that the reflection of sun is the same as original. And even is the case with any reflection and original, there is no reflection without the original. The original sun is the one that really exists. But reflection also, when we purify water, then we'll be able to experience that. Oh, we'll be able to see the sun the same as the original sun, which means we'll be able to experience Anandam. So the way to realize the pulsating I or the Brahman in each one of us is by purification of the mind. Purification of the mind, that is, in other words, purification of the mind means destroying the ego. Because ego means you have mental qualities like raga, dvesham and other things. That means the mind is impure, the mind has turbulence. Remove that turbulence, there is no scope for ego. If we don't have anything to get attached to or averted, how can we have the ego? There will be no ego at all. Only when there is something to get attached to, there are turbulence or thoughts in the mind, we'll have the ego. So purification is the way to realize. If we purify that the ego I slowly in our mind, then we'll be able to experience the pulsating I, which is Brahman. So that is how to purify the ego, purify the mind. There are different ways of purifying the mind. The simplest way is like remembering that this ego I is not real. This ego is constantly changing. So that which is constantly changing cannot really be real, actually be real, whatever it is. So it cannot be real because even like if we take the simple example of a mathematical equation, we have variables in maths like x, y, z and all. We use that quite commonly in mathematics. So those variables are not real. At any point of time, does the variable exist? It doesn't exist at all. What exists is a constant which is assigned to the variable. At any point of time, if we take x cannot exist of its own, x equals 5, x equals 2, that is what really exists. So the variable which is constantly changing is only an illusion in the changeless constant. So this changing ego is only an illusion in the real pulsating I. And this is what we really experience in deep sleep state, in Sushupti Avastha. Sushupti Avastha or analysis of Sushupti is very important in Vedanta because that is one state which is very similar or very much similar to the state of Moksha. So in deep sleep state, this ego I gets purified because there are no thoughts. The mind gets like completely blank. When the mind gets completely blank, the ego is purified and the pulsating I alone exists. And it is out of that pulsating or the consciousness or Brahman in each one of us that we experience Ananda. So like saying that our nature is that of Brahman, Akandam Anandam Bodham, that means what is the point of knowing this? Why should I come to Vedanta? Because that is the way you can get Anandam. So we seek happiness, we seek Sukham in the external world. We seek worldly objects, we seek all sort of things in the world to get happiness. But happiness cannot be found in the world because happiness is hidden in ourselves. So there is a famous story, not exactly famous, but most popular story said by Amma regarding the position or the place of Ishvara or Brahman. So as to like where is Brahman, where is God? So Amma says that there was once there was a time when people could like go to Kailasam, go to Vaikuntham, meet with gods, disturb them as much or whenever they want, like just do some tapas and Brahma will have to come in front of you and give you varam. And it will be like Shiva giving the boon to Basmasura, that whoever you touch will become a Basma. So it will fire back. So like people started disturbing gods or the devatas very often. So like when some problem arises, like if we take the current day scenario, when some problem happens or whenever something is wrong, something goes wrong, the first thing that we do is call a meeting, call a conference. So when tsunami or like when there is when nature is being exploited, like people don't work towards it, what they do is they'll just call conference. They'll call conference saying, okay, exploitation of nature, we should stop using petrol. So they'll go to the conference, they will go, each of the person going to the conference, they'll go in their own car, but still they'll speak about exploitation of nature. So that's how the world goes. But conference, so Ishwaras, the various gods started a conference. The main topic was, okay, how to get rid of these people, these troubling people, it's not like very ancient times, it was like you have to do lot of tapas and then only they used to come. And then people became like more equipped that like they found out easy ways to catch God. So they would do tapas, they know like shortcuts like we do. So how can we get rid of these, like the trouble of these manushyas or the people, humans? So finally one old like God found out, okay, can we have old God? Okay, this is just a story. don't ask all those stupid questions. Anyway, one old god said, gave a solution. Solution, like, because of the solution, like, even today, like, Amma says, like, as a joke, she says that even today, like, we are still searching. So the place was hiding inside humans. So any place, like, the best place and possible place to find a thief is in the house of the policeman, because nobody will search there. So that's how Amma explains the story of where is Ishvara, where is God, where is Brahman. So it's the same. Those are synonyms, like Ishvara, Padanti Tattva Vidaha Tattvam Yad Jnanam Advayam Brahme Eti Paramatma Eti Bhagavan Eti Shabdyate. Bhagavatam says that, like, you don't need to have any confusion. Bhagavatam says, we use like the term Paramatma, Ishvara. Don't get confused that the Upanishads use Brahman and we are using something different, because Tattva Vidaha, knowers of the truth, say that that non-dual consciousness, that Advitiya consciousness, Akanda Ananda Bodham, that alone is termed as Brahman, Paramatman, Ishvara, Bhagavan, etc. All those are synonyms, is what Bhagavatam says. So all those are the same, but the point is that, like, Brahman is our own nature, Anandam is our own nature, but we keep searching outside. So with this, like, saying that, okay, Brahman, what is Brahman? Brahman is Adharam. It's Adharam of the illusory world. We'll come to that later. So Adharam, can forget Adharam, erase. It is Akhanda Ananda Bodham. So Akhanda Ananda Bodham. These are like words which we can remember. Each of them have like huge significance. Like, we can go on explaining about each of the word. But Akhanda Ananda Bodham. Akhanda means indivisible, means it is one alone. That which is indivisible is like space. It is all pervasive. It is all pervasive means like it is present everywhere, which means it is the only entity present. It, like, is present inside and out of whatever is there. That means everything is in it, means everything is an illusion in it. So it is one alone. So even in deep sleep state, there is only one consciousness, there is only the I. Can we have multiple eyes? If the pulsating I is the same in each one of us, then don't we need many ones? It's not that way. It is like just the essence of everyone is the same. The pulsating eye is the same, because in deep sleep state we don't see multiple. And in dream state we are just one person, but we see many. So this many or multitude is only an illusion from this pulsating eye. The pulsating eye in each one of us is the same and it is one. So akhandam means it is one alone. Anandam, it is blissful nature, and Bodham. Bodham means consciousness. The word Bodham is very important, because it means that I don't need to struggle quite a lot for realization. Do I need to learn for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years for realization? Not required. Why? Because Bodham is Brahman. Bodham is Brahman means Bodham is that which pulsates in each one of us. That means it says, I exist. It is always there. It is our own nature. Then we don't need to struggle. So that is Brahman. And the reason for learning about Brahman, the reason for Brahma Sutra, learning Brahma Sutra, the reason for Vedanta, reason for spiritual path is Anandam. Because Anandam can be achieved. And we can get Anandam only through this way. There is no other way that we can get Anandam. So much about Brahman. So one is, like, Brahman is Akhandam. So indivisible is the word meaning of Akhandam, but indirectly we can take it that it also means it is one alone. There is only one entity here. There is only one entity. Everything else that we see is like the creation of the dreamer. The dream world created by the dreamer. The dreamer creates the dream world. The entire dream world is but his own creation. It's one person who sees many of those, all those. So similarly, the duality, the dual world, multitude that we see now is only an illusion in this one, Akhandam, Akhanda Brahman. and it is anandam in nature. It is bodham. So that is with this, like if we know this much, oh then how can we explain dvaitam? How can we explain multitude? Multitude is an illusion. Oh, illusion seems, the illusion is a little bit complex. Illusion means mithya. Mithya means like we have to have lot of logic to answer it. If it is tough to apprehend or understand that the duality that we see or multitude that we see is mithya or illusion, then we don't need to consider it as an illusion. Vedanta gives a alternate interpretation, which is nama rupam. So like even as various gold, like yata saumi ekena mrit pindena sarvam mrinmayam vijnatam sya. So like with what, when we know like one piece of mud, all objects made of mud are known. That is because all objects made of mud, like pot, ghatakudhyadikam sarvam mrittika matramevahi. Ghatakudhyadikam sarvam mrittika matramevahi. So ghatakudhyadikam, ghatam means pot, kudyam means like wall. So pot, wall and all made of mud. Mrittika matramevahi, they are mrittika alone. Then what is that different, the differentiating factor in there? It's just nama rupam. It's just the name of kudyam, the form of a rectangular. Whereas pot is like circular or spherical. So that's the only difference. So nama rupam is the bedam. Tatvat brahma jagat sarvam. In the same way, the entire world is one entity of Brahman alone. Thus, iti Vedanta Rindima. Like this is what Vedanta says. So if illusion is something which is beyond our reach, beyond the reach of our immature intellect, then we just need to think, okay, nama rupam. And this view is also called as Kanaka Eka Mahabuddhi. It's called Kanaka Eka Mahabuddhi. Buddhi is intellect. Mahabuddhi means very great intellect. Kanaka Eka. Kanakam alone. That Mahabuddhi. So, as we took the example of Ghatam and Kudyam, like pot and wall being nama rupam in mud, the another example that is given is like the example of gold ornaments, various gold ornaments like gold ring or gold chain, gold necklace, gold bracelet. All those are illusions or names and forms in gold. Oh, if that is the case, like how can we know that? That is where the example of gold is perfect. What it means is like there are two perspectives there. We see gold ornaments as something different. We say, oh, this is a ring. I don't like this. I don't like the ring. I want a chain. But if we go to the goldsmith, what does he do? He removes that. Like whenever we give him something, he removes that particular form. So he removes that form, makes it pure gold, and then he again makes another form. So for him, whatever you give, he pierces through the nama rupam, because he knows that the name and form of various ornaments are an illusion. So the goldsmith vision is called Kanaka Eka Mahabuddhi. Whatever he says is Kanakam alone. Similar way, like for us to get realized, or the real view, the actual view or view of the world as it is called Brahma Eka Mahabuddhi. Brahman alone is there. That is the view that we should have. So if illusion is something which we can't accept, then we can accept like the multitude as nama rupam. So akhanda ananda bodham, and the world or jagat is nama rupam, which is mithya. So if that is the case, if that is what is the case, then why am I not experiencing Brahman? Why am I not experiencing Anandam? Which we already answered in a way, but again, like reiterating it, we don't experience Anandam because the ego I is not pure. That means the ego I is there, which it like overshines or overshadows the pulsating I. This is a concept that Shankara, in his like introductory bhashya to Brahma Sutra, he says, or he terms it as adhyasam or superimposition. So we'll come to that a little later. So we can just remember that, like what happens when I am not experiencing anandam, which is my own nature, then it is due to superimposition or adhyasam. Superimposition means this ego I is active. This ego I is active means like it's not just active, it's like it is active by making the real I inactive. It overshadows the mean I. It's like telling it is standing on the real I, it's standing over the real I, therefore we can only see it. It's very easy to understand this analogy because that's what happens in the current day. Like wherever we go, there is stiff competition. So people try to overshadow others, they go over others. So that's what happens. So we can just remember that. So coming back, so with this, like if we are able to understand that, okay, what is Brahman? Brahman is Akanda Ananda Bodham. Oh, I don't need Akanda Ananda Bodham and all. I will go to Amma. I'll cry and surrender to Amma. If somebody says, even if we surrender to Amma, if we surrender to Shankara himself, we cannot get realization because realization is our own nature. If it is our own nature, if it is our bodham, my bodham, how can somebody else help me? They can only help to an extent. So what Mahatmas like Amma do is that they help us in like realizing our nature of bodham. So that's the only part. Look, so can I skip all this knowledge? Oh, this is too tough. I'll skip it. There's no way of skipping. And it's not tough. Balakrishna Nair says, even a child can understand it. Very simple to understand. What bodham? What is bodham? If you ask a kid, like, can you tell me, like, are you conscious? Can you say, yes, I exist. The kid can say, I exist. I know that I exist. The kid can say, but we cannot say, means, like, it's a shame. So, that is something, like, which is very easy to understand. So, bodham is very easy to understand. Then what about, like, the all the illusions that's, or like why we don't experience anandam? Namarupa. That is also very easy to understand. If the goldsmith who hasn't learned like Vedanta like us, if he can understand it, why not us? Like goldsmith, we don't even need to take the example of goldsmith. Goldsmith might have learned a lot of chemical engineering and other things to try out like new ways. But the kulala means the potter. If you take like any pot or something to the potter, he will know that it is only mud. So if the potter like who hasn't learned anything, he can know, then we can also know. It's not something which is tough. So it is like with, if we remember these few things like Akanda Ananda Bodham, that is called Brahman. And why I don't experience it? Because of Namarupam. Namarupam, or like the ego is not pure, means Namarupam is there. I am perceiving Namarupam. I am the owner of a gold ornament. I don't have the vision of goldsmith. Therefore, I am not experiencing Anandam. I experience the ego. This is what, like when Namarupam is active, these are different perspectives. When Namarupams are there, we don't pierce through Namarupam. When our ego is not pure, there's different ways. Like whichever is easy for us, we can take. Like Shankara might give one way, Vidyaranya might give other perspective. But all are the same. It's the same. These different perspectives are just for our better understanding. Like some people might understand as illusion is very easy for them. Some people Namarupam is easy. So there are different perspectives that we can, like it's depending on our nature, we can choose. So like all these perspectives are different views. That okay, Namarupam is active. Ego is not pure, there is abhyasam, there is superimposition of this ego. This ego eye is standing over the pulsating eye. That is what causes sorrow. That is why I don't experience anandam. Therefore, the sooner I realize my nature of adharam ananda bodham, or my nature of Brahman, again, akanda ananda bodham. So, akandam itself means like it is one alone. We should never, like if somebody asked us, how can you say like there are many jivas? Oh, because I am like, jivas are many, kutasthas is one. We don't even need to enter into kutastha concept because there is only one akanda entity. The pulsating entity in each one of us is one. So Akhanda, we just need to tell that person, why do you need Kudastha, Jiva and all? It's very tough for me to understand. I don't need that much explanation and all. I know my nature is Akhanda Bodham. That means I am Akhanda, means there is no duality. That means there is one alone, no question of multiple jiva, whether it is Eka Jiva Vadam or Nana Jiva Vadam, it's one jiva or many jivas. Why I am not progressing than the other person? There is no such question, because the real pulsating I is only one. It's only the ego, like we think because of our ego. Even as a dreamer sees many things, so we dream, we go into dream, and in dream, like we apply for a job, we don't get the job, and then we complain, oh, he, because of him I didn't get job, because of her I am not understanding, so because of this speaking person I am not sleeping now. Okay, that is not valid for you anyway, you will sleep, I know. So all those things, like if somebody says like that, then what is the point of that? Because there is nothing there. Like, the reason why the person, like, in the dream he is complaining, I didn't get this job, is because he is in the dream. There is only one dreamer. If we have the ego, if we see Nama Rupam, then there are many. Getting rid of Nama Rupam, we don't, the only way or only thing we need to do to get rid of Nama Rupam is we don't even need to get rid of Nama Rupam. People might think, oh, how can I kill the ego? Amma says that we have to destroy the ego. I am trying as much as possible. How can I destroy? I'm not able to. We don't need to even go to that extent. We just need to know that this ego is, again, Nama Rupam. The moment we know this ego is Nama Rupam, we know that we are the pulsating I. That is called killing of ego. There is no killing of ego. It is just knowing that this ego is an illusion. In the dream world, if the dreamer has to get rid of the sorrows in the dream world, the only thing he needs to do is, oh, enough of this. Like we go into a movie and then watch like Jodha Akbar. We go for Jodha Akbar, and after 1.5 hours, we say, oh, another 1.5 hours. Oh, I cannot tolerate, I am walking out. Similarly, the dreamer says, oh, enough of this problem. This is too much. Till now it was okay, I had blissful experiences. Now it is like competition. I am losing, I don't want to lose. Let me wake up. That is what is called killing of ego. Killing of ego is knowing that this adhyasam or this impure ego, this duality is only an illusion. It is only Nama Rupam. It is Nama Rupam. The moment we bring in the concept of Nama Rupam or illusion, there itself we say that there is only one entity. If there is only one entity, then how can we have ego? Ego itself means I am getting attached to something which is different from me. If there is nothing different from me, if everything is one Brahman, then how can I have difference? So with this, like, if we are able to remember this much, then Brahma Sutra is almost done. Not Brahma Sutra, Vedanta is done. So you can like go and have a cup of coffee, and then you will find, after drinking the cup of coffee, you can say, not before, after drinking you can say, enough of this, I'll stop. Not before, because you need to enjoy coffee. So let me enjoy coffee and then enough of this coffee, I'll stop. I want to wake up. So if we do that, if we remember this, like this much, if we are able to remember like these small points, that is enough for realization. That's not my word, Balakrishnan Nair. Any doubts, you can go to Balakrishnan Nair and ask him, like, if you go and ask him, like, he can ask him any question, he'll say, why are you bothering about all this? There is only three words you need to know. Brahman and Namarupam. There is only Brahman. Namarupam is Mithya. Now tell me, like, what you want to talk about. Do you want to talk about Namarupam? Do you want to talk about Brahman? If it is Namarupam, you already know that it is not real. Then why would you want to talk about it? If it is about Brahman, you are already Brahman. There is only one Brahman. You are already that. Then why speak? Like Balakrishnan Nair says, like many times he says, like young people, like he is 1923, born 1923 or something. So he still, like, he still gives discourses. Like he always smiles, and you can see that's the radiance that comes out of a Jivan Mukta. That if you see him, like, you can find always smiling and the bliss coming out. So it seems like very lot of young people, like the current day young people are guys. People who drink coffee are good people. Not Jews, okay? Because you can compare and see. You'll become like her if you drink juice only. Anyway, like, young people like are more into arguments, logical arguments. They want proofs. But this kind of, like, this kind of explanation itself is a proof. So any person who, like, thinks he is scientific enough, if he just listens to, like, these few points, he cannot refute it. He has, like, if he really wants to know, if he is just coming for argument's sake, like, you cannot change him at all, you cannot convince him. But if he really wants to know, this is enough. So, lot of young people go to Balakrishna and ask him, oh, dear sir, tell me, like, I'm hearing lot of concepts, lot of things and all. Tell me, what is real? Tell me, like, why are you saying, like, science cannot help us? Where are you saying external progress is not enough? So the only thing Balakrishna says is, I'll tell you the truth. I'll tell you what is truth and what is to be known. There are only two entities here. So there is a work of, it's a beautiful work of Narayana Gurudeva. I've heard, like, Sri Narayana Gurudeva, like, he was a person he was a social worker. He's known for his social works, social service in Kerala, but he's lesser known for his, like, Advaitic works. Like, he has written lot of small works, Vedantic works, which are purely Advaitic and so beautiful in knowing, but he's not known for it. So he has written a work called Chit Jada Chintanam. Chintanam means, like, thinking or analysis of Chit and Jadam. Chit means consciousness, Jadam means insentient entity. So what is Chit? Chit is the same as Bodham. And what is Jadam? Is Namarupam. So, like, Balakrishna tells the young guy, there are only two entities here. Like, Dvau Bhuta Sargau. I forgot, not Dvau, Dvau Bhuta Sargau. Like, there is a shloka in Brahmanyana Vili Mela where Shankara says the same thing, that he says, there are two entities only. Like, when we analyze, when we are analyzing, like, about Brahman or about the world, anything, we will end up with only two entities. Dau Padartha Stah Paraspara Vilakshano. I forgot the rest part. Like, Dau, like, there are only two Padarthas, two entities finally, and Paraspara Vilakshano means Paraspara Vilakshana. Vilakshana means opposite. Paraspara means mutual, so mutually contradicting. Chit. Like, and he says, like, those two entities are, one is Brahman, which is real, and the other is Namarupam of Jagat. So one is Chit, one is Jadam. How are they mutually contradicting in nature? Chit is that which pulsates. Jadam cannot pulsate. This keyboard cannot tell I exist. If it has to, like, it exists. I know it exists. I know it exists because the pulsating I in me is telling that it exists. It can't exist of its own. So Jadam is something which cannot exist of its own. It cannot pulsate. Pulsation is not there for these Jada Vastus because it is Namarupam. It's like telling, like the pot, the name and form of pot cannot, like, say I am mud. Cannot say. Because when it says I am mud, the name and form automatically vanishes. So it cannot exist of its own, it exists in mud. So Jadam is something which cannot experience its own existence. So if it cannot experience its own existence, if I cannot say I exist, then do I really exist? I don't exist. So that means Chit is real, Jadam is Namarupam. Again, means Namarupam means it's an illusion in Chit. So with these two, if we know these two entities of Chit and Jadam, or Bodham and Namarupam, as we have learned, that is done. So Balakrishna Nair says these are the two entities. Like, you analyze yourself. Chit is that which pulsates in each one of us, says I exist, and Jadam is that which cannot pulsate, which is insentient. It is Namarupam in Chit. And immediately the young guy is not like us, like, he is so intelligent, so intelligent that he says, nah, now my doubts are like, okay, Balakrishna says, okay, the young guy says, okay, I understand. And Balakrishna, do you have any other doubts? Balakrishna asks, and the person says, no, I am done, and he leaves. That's what happens. Like, this is a very small concept. We may think, oh, Paramatma says consistently learning from a guru, for systematic learning from a guru for a consistent period of time. We will think, oh, this is something. Shanti's mother will say, oh, you can learn, but if it is consistent for a like long period of time, I won't agree. So like, all those are not really required. What is required is remembering this part. This concept, if it becomes clear, that is the subject matter of the Chatusutri Brahma Sutra. That is the subject matter of Vedanta. This is the ultimate truth that Vedanta will take you to. Paramatma also will take you, but he will slowly tell you, oh, the mind is there, the three gunas are there. He will explain each of the gunas. He will give different analogies for each of the gunas. And then finally, you will come. So it's like telling, like something is itching my nose, so let me slowly go. Why do I have to go like over behind my head? I need to go behind my head because like I'm like tortoise, slow and steady. I need to go slow and steady. And if it is something very near, I'll have the doubt. Is it really Brahman? Did I really realize? So it's like telling that somebody like says that you have got IIM, like I'll say, I don't believe it. It's not possible. I cannot get it that easily and all. So we may think that way. So like, he slowly takes you. But it's still the same truth. If we can directly do it, like the advantage, like there are pros and cons for both approaches. So Balakrishna Nair takes the approach of directly telling. So out of five people here, maybe one will really be able to apprehend and implement very quickly. Others may not even apprehend. They will apprehend now, and then when coffee goes in, sugama irukke thoongidlaame. தன்ய தன்யே பாட்டு இன்னைக்கு பாடணும் குருவடிவானவளேன்னு பாடணும் சொல்லி we may think all those like, I'm just joking, don't take personally. So there are two approaches, like Balakrishnan's approach, very few people might be able to apprehend, but quantity is not a matter. Krishna had just one student and he also didn't understand properly. He forgot and then asked, oh, I forgot, please Krishna tell me again. So like even with Krishna it's the case. So Balakrishna takes the approach of directly telling the truth. I don't like, there may be very few people who understand, like out of the 100 or 50 people who go to Balakrishna Nair's discourses, like 20 or 30 are like 60s or 70s. They are his friend or like his followers in the sense, like people help him out and all. So those are the people, and the rest of the people just come there, they'll go. Like one of my father's cousin. Okay, we won't enter into jokes. So father's cousin, like he also used to come to Balakrishna's discourse. So he'll always come. And then like he'll always say like everything is Brahman. So he once went for Amma's darshan. He was standing in the queue. So the queue was going on. Like it's a long queue. He went like near friend and he was talking to one guy there. Immediately got in. And then the person asks, like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, everything is Brahman. It doesn't matter. So that's what will happen. Like, so though they come to Balakrishna and discourse, everything is Brahman. But when it comes to my daughter, she cannot join Chinmaya Mission. Everything is Brahman. I agree, everything is Brahman. Shankara says the truth. But not for my daughter. Like the Tejomayananda always says, the Pavan Maharaj used to tell, that sannyasis are like most respected. Like my sister almost experiences it now. Like when they go, like when she goes to the various aunties like place and stays there for discourses and all, they respect her quite a lot. But when it comes to their own children, oh no. So sannyasis are respected. Sannyasi is so great. But only one condition, Swamiji, they shouldn't be my daughter. He shouldn't be my son. So that's the only restriction. So there are people who go to Balakrishna Nair, very few will be able to apprehend. With Paramatma also, it's not any better. But the only thing is, like, some people might want you to take you slowly, slow and steadily, like going through the Vedantic, normal Vedantic way. In some cases, you can directly go to Brahma Sutra. Oh, I don't need, like, other works and all. I don't need, like, mind, triguna and all. What I need to know, nanyam gunebhyak kartaram yada drashta anupashyati. After explaining, like, in 14th chapter, Krishna follows the same thing. He goes on explaining gunas and all. Like, he explains this guna, the sattvam, sattva sanjayate sukam. Sattvam will give you sukam. Rajas will give you this. Rajas is this. Sattva will give you this. Like, sattva can lead you this. Rajas, tamas, everything he explained for 20, like, out of the 28 shlokas in the chapter, he explains for 20, 23 shlokas. And then finally he says, though I explained all this, please forgive me. Know that, like, all these gunas are of no use. Why? Because know that they are only the karta. You are just the sakshi. You are the pulsating eye. This guna is the ego eye. They are namarupam. So, nanyam gunebhya drashta karta drashta yada anupashyati. When the person, when the seer, that means when the seeker knows that this ego eye is active now. I know that the ego eye is active. Let it act. Namarupam is there, let it act for a few minutes. I know, if I am aware that Namarupam is still there, it doesn't matter. So awareness that, like, if we know that I am dreaming, there is no point. Like, if we lose a job, we will not be sad because we know that it is only a dream. So let it happen. So after explaining all those gunas, he says, though I explained all these gunas, forget it, so don't scold me. So he doesn't say that way. He knows that Arjuna will not scold him. Else he would have said, like, don't, like, he'll say, can you move a little bit back? And then, like, he'll give the shield and then say, though I explained all this, all those are mithya. Just know that you are not that. So, like, with the shield, like, you cannot throw as well. I don't have any shield now, so don't throw anything. So, no throwable objects available. So, it's fine. So, that's, so there are different approaches. So Paramatma slowly takes a person, like, explaining all this and then finally saying it's not there. So we can directly go to Brahma Sutra as well. Both are valid, both are fine, but it depends on the person speaking. It's the person doing Prabhashanam, not the Jivan Mukta speaking, only Prabhashanam. Whoever gives Prabhashanam, whoever is speaking or discussing, it's up to the person to decide as to, like, whether, like, slowly let me take my audience, or let me directly give them. Like, it's like, once you go to the doctor, he'll say, okay, everything is fine, you're really good, like, your x-rays results are very positive, it's all good. After explaining everything, there's only one problem. This x-ray result is not yours. Only that is the problem. So it should be that way. You can do it that way, or you can directly say, I don't care what you say, like, X-ray's result is not yours. I don't want to enter into whether it's good or bad. It's not yours. So both those, like, perspectives we can take. It depends on how we want to do it. But, like, Balakrishna Nair follows this way of, like, Gaudapada's way of Ajatavadam, or directly speaking about Brahman. That is what Brahma Sutra really does. Brahma Sutra, or the sub-commentaries of Brahma Sutra, like, explain quite a lot. Like, even Shankara explains few points, he explains. But with this, whatever we have learned till now, the few points that we have learned, Brahma Sutra is almost done. We will learn the Sutra after some time, but that is irrelevant. Or it's not really required, because with this, like, Brahma Sutra, or the basic, the summary, or the concept of Brahma Sutra is done. So next is only up to us to whether, this seems quite simple, I don't want it. Let me try out Paramatma's way. At least I'll learn, like, Hamsa Gita. I'll become a Hamsa. So earlier Kutastha, now Hamsa. Next is what? Let me think. But I don't want Bodham and all. Bodham is like, I'll have it little later. Let me wait until my grandmother gets married. Until then, I'll wait. Yeah, so we'll stop here for now and then we'll enter into like a few details about Adhyasa Bhashyam of Shankara and then the sutras. We don't have much time to discuss each and like all the four. We will discuss all the four sutras, but we can't discuss in depth each of the sutras. But in short, we will try to see that. Okay.